na ye koya na mboka ya bato na ebindenge balinga kate o
fats and protein. Soybeans, edamame, are rich in protein and healthy fats but higher in calories. Pinto beans provide solid fiber and folate, but others are more nutrient dense. Black beans rank higher with fiber, protein, and antioxidants, while kidney beans are great for heart health. Chickpeas are versatile and rich in magnesium, iron, and folate, just behind cannellini beans, which are nutrient-dense and lower in calories. Navy beans excel in fiber and gut health benefits, followed by mung beans for their antioxidants and protein. Finally, adzuki beans top the list as the healthiest, packed with antioxidants, fiber, and nutrients. Beans ranked from least to most healthy. At the bottom, canned baked beans are least healthy due to added sugar and sodium. Lima beans follow, offering fewer nutrients and protein. Soybeans, edamame, are rich in protein and healthy fats but higher in calories. Pinto beans provide solid fiber and folate, but others are more nutrient dense. Black beans rank higher with fiber, protein, and antioxidants, while kidney beans are great for heart health. Chickpeas are versatile and rich in magnesium, iron, and folate, just behind cannellini beans, which are nutrient-dense and lower in calories. Navy beans excel in fiber and gut health benefits, followed by mung beans for their antioxidants and protein. Finally, adzuki beans top the list as the healthiest, packed with antioxidants, fiber, and nutrients. Beans ranked from least to most healthy. At the bottom, canned baked beans are least healthy due to added sugar and sodium. Lima beans follow, offering fewer nutrients and protein. Soybeans.
That you just got from the grocery store, you want to give them a try, you're not quite sure what to do with them. Well, the first thing you want to do, no matter how you prepare them, is open that bag and pour them into a pot or a bowl or a plate or something and sort through them. Make sure there's no stones in there or damaged or spoiled looking peas. You want to remove those, but especially look for stones. Once in a while, not very often, they may be in the bag, and it does not feel good to chew on a stone. Believe me, I've been there and done that. So that's the first thing you want to do. Then you want to rinse them and drain them just to make sure you get them clean. Now, there's two ways to soak them. Yes, you will need to soak them. And the instructions are usually on the bag, but it's really not hard to do. There's a quick soak method where you put your sorted through rinsed peas in a large pot, cover them with plenty of water, bring that to a heavy boil on the stove and allow it to boil for 2 minutes. Then take them off the heat, cover that pot up, and allow it to sit in that hot water for 1 hour. Then take that pot and drain the water off, rinse the peas, put them back in the pot, add more fresh water to it, then bring them to a gentle boil and allow them to cook until they are as
thank you. genes that control color and speckling or mottling are related to genes that control flavor. And you know I'm all about the flavor, and these beans are really exciting. I don't mean to say that the cannellini beans or the black beans that you probably have in your pantry are boring, but maybe they're a little boring compared to what I have in front of me on the table. Now, heirloom beans are basically beans that aren't commodity beans. They're grown by farmers on a small scale, often in small regions. In our taste tests, and we tasted dozens of varieties here, we noticed some common themes where the heirloom beans differed from their commodity brothers and sisters. First off, they cook faster. So commodity beans, as the name might imply, are sort of held until the price is right. And often those beans that you're buying in the supermarket can be 3, 4, 5 years old. There's no real difference except think of them as super dried beans. Heirloom beans are generally sold the year that they're grown. They want to get rid of the crop before next crop comes in. And so they're a bit fresher, which means they will cook faster. Not really a difference one better than the other, but it's important to know that if you're using a recipe that was developed with a commodity bean and then using a heirloom bean instead, it will cook faster. Second thing is the flavor variations are much more interesting within the heirloom beans. They have all kinds of wild things going on that are actually related to the color, which is probably what draws you into the heirloom beans. I mean, look what's in front of me here. Last thing is the texture of the heirloom beans was a little different than the commodity beans. They were more melt in your mouth and creamy, while your standard white bean or black bean that you could buy typically in the supermarket is what I would call more dense. So, no value judgments here. We liked pretty much everything we tasted, including the commodity beans, but I've chosen 4 of the heirloom beans that I particularly liked, and let me just tell you a little bit about them. Let me start with these from North Bay Trading Company in the Great Lakes. These are Christmas lima beans. They are absolutely beautiful. They have mushroom, vegetal, grassy notes. They'd be lovely in a sort of simple bean side dish. Here are the Rancho Gordo Mayacobas. Now, Rancho Gordo is probably the best known company in the heirloom business. It's a California company that sources beans from small farmers, the West Coast, and in Mexico. And these taste like candied bacon. Yeah, cured meat and a little bit of sweetness. They would be so good in pasta e fagioli. The big boys here, these also come from Rancho Gordo. These are Royal Corona beans. I would leave these alone in terms of preparation and do less. And so maybe olive oil, salt, and lemon juice. They are super creamy, a little bit of nuttiness, absolutely delicious. And finally, these are from Idaho. Look at these little beauties. This is a company called Zorzon, and these are their snow-cap beans. They have kind of a chestnutty flavor. They will be a little mealy if you undercook them, so make sure you fully cook them so that they're velvety and creamy. So there you have it, just 4 of my favorite heirloom beans, and they're definitely worth seeking out.
Thanks for watching Cook's Country from America's Test Kitchen. So what'd you think?
Na festa do fim de semana, só rolê bom. Ela chega e desencana com passo bem sou. Passo bem sou.
Passo bem sou.
Passo bem sou.
na festa do fim de semana.
Bombardiro crocodilo. Trallallero trallallà. Tribi tropi. Tropa triba. Tung 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 sahur. Bombardiro crocodilo. 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 Pro crocodilo. 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 Pro crocodilo. 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 Tung 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 sahur. Tung 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 sahur.
Cimpanzini bananini.
Spioniro golubiro.
Tung 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 sahur.
Ballerina cappuccina. 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 Ballerina cappuccina. Cina 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 cina
Do you soak the beans or not soak them at all? And if you do soak them, how long? And when do you add salt during cooking, if at all? Well, we've made batches and batches of beans to get to the very bottom of all the folklore, and here's the deal. If you want evenly cooked beans, and I'm assuming that you do, soaking is a must. In fact, we found that an overnight soak provided the most tender and evenly cooked beans. Now, it takes a little forethought, but this hands-off day before prep shaved an average of 45 minutes of cooking time the next day. And when it comes to salt, we've heard many experts warn against adding salt too early in the cooking process. Some claim that the salt toughens the beans, and others profess that the salt turns the beans to mush. But we found that simmering beans in salted water does indeed affect their structure. The negative effects were that the interior of the beans were mealy and gritty. However, the salt tenderized the tough skin of those very same beans, especially when the salt was added early in the cooking process. So we wondered if there was any way to use salt to tenderize the skins without turning the interior into a mealy mess, and the solution was to brine the beans. By soaking them overnight in salted water, the salt slowly softens the skin. However, as the skin does not allow the salt to penetrate into the bean's flesh, the interiors remain creamy and not mealy at all. And it really doesn't take much salt to brine a pound of beans, which works out to 2 cups. Let me show you. You simply dissolve 3 tablespoons of table salt in 4 quarts of cold water. And you stir it to make sure it's all dissolved. Then you just stir in the beans. Drain the beans and rinse them well, and this will wash away any excess salt from the exterior. Now, if you don't have time for an overnight brine, here's a quicker way. Just combine the same amount of salt, water, and beans, but in a Dutch oven, and you bring it up to a boil over high heat. You remove the pot from the heat, you cover, and you let the beans stand for 1 hour. And you want to rinse those beans well, and they're ready to use. Now, these quick soak beans won't be quite as creamy as an overnight brine beans, but they will be superior.
Cocoa beans, coffee beans, cranberry bean, edamame bean, fava bean, flageolet bean, French green bean, gigante bean, Great Northern Bean, Kidney Bean, Lentils, Lima beans. Long beans. Marrow fat beans. Mung beans. Navy beans. Peas. Pinto beans. Purple string beans. Snap peas. Snow peas. Soybeans. Split peas.
Dietary staple of nearly every culture across the globe, and for good reason. Not to toot their own horn, but boasting around 40,000 different varieties, beans are highly versatile, nutritious, cheap, and great for the environment. Part of the legume family, botanically, beans are a vegetable and come in many different shapes and sizes, from fresh beans and peas to dried seeds like lentils and chickpeas. If you're confused whether you should treat them as a veg or a protein on your plate, the answer is they can be either or both. For example, fresh peas and green beans are considered starchy vegetables, while the high protein content of kidney beans, black beans, and chickpeas means they tick the boxes of both food groups. In a world where 2.5 billion people are either overweight, obese, or malnourished, beans are a nutritional all-rounder. Not only are they an inexpensive substitute for animal products, but they're both low-fat and nutrient-rich, high in protein, iron, zinc, and fiber. They contain indigestible carbohydrates that feed the bacteria in the large bowel, making them great for our guts. While all beans contain a mix of essential amino acids, soybeans have the best ratios for our health. Other beans don't have that balance, but around the world, people have traditionally paired them with foods that make the meal nutritionally complete. Think beans on toast, bean burritos, rice and peas, dal and chapatis. Everything is better with beans. While beans are well known for their role in, to put it delicately, releasing gases, they can also do the opposite. Beans play a unique and important role in crucial ecosystems like forests, grasslands, and wetlands. The bacteria in their roots take in nitrogen from the atmosphere and store it in the soil. This process, known as nitrogen fixing, not only provides nutrients for trees and other plants, but acts as a natural fertilizer in agriculture, greatly reducing the need for synthetic ones and lowering chemical pollution. In a world of ever-increasing temperatures, beans are survivors, able to grow in a wide range of climates, from the broad beans of the UK to the aziki of the Himalayas. They're hardy, on average requiring less water in their production than rice, wheat, or animal products. And given that global water demand is likely to increase by more than 40% by 2030, this is quite a superpower. Beans have sometimes been misunderstood. Researchers once worried that the isoflavones found in soy cause health issues by mimicking the hormone estrogen. But thankfully, more recent studies have found no evidence of this. In fact, modern research suggests that soy could even lower cancer risk and help maintain healthy hearts. Another concern is that growing soybeans leads to deforestation in places like the Amazon. But in fact, nearly 80% of soy produced in the region is used. We'll be right back.
They're all just different varieties of common bean. Green beans are common beans. Again, bushes with a little tendency to vine when permitted. But not all legumes are bushes or vines. Some are trees, like the whole acacia genus. Lots of trees with big honking pods. In a different genus, but still a legume, we have the Kentucky coffee tree. Like many beans, its pods are super poisonous raw, but Native Americans roasted the beans and brewed them in a hot beverage that reminded European settlers of coffee. Real coffee is not a legume, which is why coffee beans are not considered true beans, even though they are seeds, and all beans are seeds. Are beans vegetables, or are they more like grains? I mean, they're seeds, and grains are seeds, so why aren't beans grains? Or why aren't they fruits? Botanically, the whole seed pod of a legume is technically the fruit of the plant. So when you eat the whole pod, as in sugar snap peas, for example, you are technically eating a fruit that has seeds inside it, as all fruits do. But culinarily, we tend to reserve the term fruit for really sweet, juicy things that maybe we'd eat for dessert. When you talk about a fruit that's less sweet and less juicy, and you'd probably use it in a savory dish, we tend to throw that under vegetables. I mean, good green beans are generally pretty sweet, but you probably wouldn't use them in a dessert, so I guess that's why we call them vegetables. Fresh peas we think of as vegetables, but why? They've been removed from the pod. They are straight up seeds. Why do we think of them as a veggie and not something closer to, say, grains? Well, sometimes we do think of them as being something closer to grains when, say, we eat dried peas rather than eating them when they are young and fresh. Dried would be field peas, aka split peas. These are the same species as fresh or garden peas. They've just been dried and popped out of their hulls. Here, you can see the hull really clearly on these lentils. When the bean is dried, the hull gets papery and falls off pretty easily. You take it off the lentil, you get what they call dal in India. If you take it off a dried pea, you get split peas, because the two embryonic leaf-type things inside every single bean just split apart if the hull isn't there to hold them together. But anyway, we do tend to think of beans as being vegetables when we eat them young, fresh, tender, right off the plant, whether in their pods or out of their pods. Lab, like these in the garden, are often eaten fresh in the pod, usually when they're a little younger. This pod has aged pretty hard at this point, but if we open her up and check out the seeds inside, there are the beans themselves. And in this fresh state, I'd call them vegetables. Here's another one. The beans inside are green. They remind me of broad beans and lima beans, which are also often eaten fresh as vegetables. Fresh beans like these used to be a rare seasonal treat, but they're easily frozen now, so we have frozen fresh lima beans and fresh peas all year long. Back in the day, if you wanted the beans to keep for any length of time, you would have to dry them. Most often, when you intend to produce dried beans, what you do is you just leave them out to dry on the plant as the plant dies back for the season. That's what these soybeans are doing. The reason we call field peas is they've been allowed to dry out in the field. In their dried form, we refer to all legume seeds as pulses, and we treat them a little more like grains. We sometimes grind them into flour, or more often, we make porridge out of them, just like grains. We maybe soak them overnight, mostly to accelerate their cooking when they finally do go in the pot. Then we boil them in plenty of water, and some of them burst, releasing their soluble fiber into the water and thickening it into a gravy that enrobes the seeds. This is exactly what happens when we make a porridge out of oats. Oatmeal is boiled dried seeds as well, but when we do it with legumes, we don't think of it as a porridge for some reason. Funny thing is, grains can be vegetables just as well as beans can be. Think about sweet corn. That's a grain, but we harvest it fresh right off of the plant, and so we call it and consider it a vegetable. When we want to consider it as a grain, we leave it to dry in the field. That's why we call that field corn. Yes, sweet corn is also a different grain.
pound bags, but I saw these at my local Korean grocery store, and I thought, perfect, I can fill a container, and I'm good to go, so I'm going to fill this up. So I'm going to weigh out 1 pound. Typically when I make beans, I am the type of person, I will not remove broken beans. Now I will rinse these in cold water and sort through it to make sure there's not any debris or things I don't want in my beans. But if I see beans kind of broken, I leave them in there. I don't take them out, but that's definitely up to you. So I'm going to give these a good rinse, kind of go through them and check for anything that I don't want, and I'll show you how I soak them. Okay, so my beans are rinsed. I'm going to place them into my bowl. Now I'm going to add maybe somewhere between 3 to 5 cups of water. I want to make sure they're submerged. Actually, this is a little over a quart of water. Okay, so my beans have been soaking for 7 hours. So I'm going to drain and rinse in cold water. Okay, so I placed my drained and rinsed beans into a 5.75 quart pot. Now I'm going to add around, let's see, this just enough to cover the beans, maybe by. So I'm going to turn my heat. I'm also going to be adding 1/2 small onion and 3 cloves of garlic. Okay, so now that my beans are boiling, I'm going to cover with a lid. I'm going to lower the heat and let it gently boil for 1 hour. Oh, and one more thing that I like to add, which is optional before I forget, is 1 bay leaf. I like the flavor of bay leaf, but you don't have to add that to your beans. And if you don't like onion and garlic, leave it out. Sometimes just boiling a pot of beans in water and then adding salt, it's as simple and as easy as that. It's really up to you, but I like the bay leaf, so it's going in. Okay, now I'm going to let it continue cooking.
Supervisors here. Let's start with ingredients. Number one, whole pinto beans, right?
That's correct.
And a big bag. How big?
2,000 pounds.
These are whole beans, but the bulk of our frijoles will be made from beans broken at harvest called splits. The whole beans soak upstairs while the split beans blanch and then float down Bean River for a washing.
This is the first stop for the beans in the cook room.
That's right.
What's going on?
It's the last part of the cleaning station where if they get anything that's denser, we'll fall to the bottom and the beans will float across the top.
And anything that comes off the end of that table is ready to be cooked.
Ready to go?
All right. This is the cooker.
That's correct.
It is hot up here. Oh, there you go. This is all the split beans making the paste, the base of the refried beans.
That's correct. Once we add the spices, the lard, they'll bring it back up to temperature, send it over to the grinder, and into the holding pan.
Next, this giant food processor grinds the cooked splits.
That's right.
Look inside.
Take a peek.
And it's really chewing it up down there. Let's put the lid back on. And the the ground your product comes through here.
That's correct.
When they come out here, they're starting to look like refried beans.
Now that looks like something we recognize.
The only thing missing here is the whole beans. Gotcha.
That's spinning on me there.
It's hot. It's hot and it sticks to you and it burns.
Wow.
They call it napalm.
The split bean mash needs the whole beans for that delicious frijoles texture. It's time to get them cooking.
This is the batch that we've been working on. You can see it submerged under the water. And in this oven, they're going to be brought to a boil and then reintroduced to that split bean mash that we made.
After the whole beans cook, they fall through this hole to the canning area.
At this point, we really want to be careful when handling the beans. These are the whole ones, and we want to keep them as whole as possible.
The whole beans mix with the split bean mash just before canning.
Steve Sando from Rancho Gordo.
Steve Sando's beans.
And they are the best beans out there.
Just the most gorgeous heirloom beans.
Oh my goodness, it was just the tastiest bean. I don't know if I can think of one that I like better than this.
When you first discover it, it's like finding religion and you're obnoxious probably and people roll their eyes, but it doesn't seem to go away.
It's called October. I like it because it makes a really big bean. It's great in soups and things. This one is called Hadatsa Shield. It is one of the traditional varieties grown by First Nations. This one's called Becca Brown. It makes the best baked beans I've ever had. This one is Tiger's Eye. It is must be related to pintos because it also makes really good refried beans. This one is Jacob's Cattle. I really like it because it has such unusual configurations of colors on it. This one is Orca, and where's a Mojave? So Mojave and Orca are really interesting because they actually hold distinct lines of color when you cook them. Most beans sort of go homogenized. But so I like to use these in bean salads because it makes a really colorful bean salad.